Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Girly Homesteader podcast. On today's episode, I am sharing my favorite things from the month of April. I will say that this episode is probably going to be kind of heavy in the hair and skin department. I have been doing a lot of experimenting with my hair due to a terrible haircut. I'll tell the whole story. But anyways, if you're not into hair and skin, I apologize. There are a few things, though, that I will be touching on having to do with the garden and also some delicious chicken wings that we actually just had last night. And I'll be sharing the technique on those. And another thing, too, if the sound is a little bit different today, that's because I don't have my tripod to hold my mic. That's because my husband was borrowing it to go out turkey hunting to film himself. And actually, I just got off the phone with him. He took his friend out to go turkey hunting. His friend got a huge tom, so that's very exciting. But anyways, yeah, these are my favorites from the month of April. Hello and welcome to season 3 of the Girly Homesteader podcast, the show that's definitely not your typical homesteading podcast. I'm your host, Laura, a girly homesteader living in Xenia, Ohio, with my husband, chickens, bees, and garden. On this weekly show, we'll cover the typical stuff, like gardening and chicken lady life, but we also go beyond the farm and talk about things like goal setting, makeup, planners, skincare, and staying in tune with nature's seasons. I've considered myself a homesteader for the past 3 years now, and in 2024, I'm hoping to hone the skills I've learned and continue to share those experiences with you. So, welcome to this girlier side of homesteading, where we can grow and flourish together. All right, so I think first of all, I'm going to talk about the non-hair and skin things. That way, if you're not into that stuff, you can just listen to the first part of the episode. Because I know that this podcast, it probably gets a wide range of people. There's probably people who are just into homesteading. Then there's probably also people who, yes, are into homesteading and gardening and all of that stuff, but still do like the girly things. So anyways, in terms of the garden, two garden things that I want to talk about. First, this is a product that I have talked about on the podcast before, but the reason that I want to talk about it again today is because Organic Rev, this is a product that has helped me out with transplanting every single time that I transplant, and this stuff works wonders. Now, have I used it to transplant directly out in the garden so far? Yes, I have. But specifically, what has been so helpful recently is potting up my hydroponic warm weather crops, like my tomatoes and peppers, into soil. Organic Rev, it is a liquid plant supplement, I guess you want to say, because it's not a food, it's not a fertilizer. What it is like, it has a lot of carbon in it. I honestly don't really know the science. This product was recommended to me by Jill McSheehy. Her podcast is called The Beginner's Garden, and it's wonderful. She's super knowledgeable, and she recommended this product, Organic Rev. I tried it soon after I heard about it for the first time because she uses it for her transplants. She will also soak her garlic and her onions in those things in the Organic Rev. I soaked my garlic in Organic Rev in October and then planted it. And it's, you know, my garlic is kicking butt so far. But basically, this product, it's a liquid. It's brown. Sometimes it's a little stinky, I will be honest. What it does is it helps the plants acclimate to their new spot much more easily, and it helps them use the nutrients that are already in the soil more efficiently. There's a lot of carbon in it, that I know, but that's about it. But anyways, this liquid, the way that I'll use it is in my aero gardens, because of course I am starting all of my seedlings in my aero garden. That means that these guys are hydroponic. That means that they are not used to real soil. That transition from going to water hydroponically growing into soil can be a bit stressful, like way more stressful than if you pot up a seedling that was started in soil into a bigger pot. So what I will do is I will fill the AeroGarden tank with water, or well, I'll just leave whatever water was in there. And then I will put a little bit of this organic rev, and I'll just kind of let the plants soak in there while I am potting them up. So with my tomatoes and my peppers, I have been using paper pots that I had made from the inside layers of my chicken food bags. I'll make those pots, I'll put in the soil, I'll put in the seedling, and then I'll get them all situated. And then what I will do is I will take that water mixed with the organic rev that was in the AeroGarden base, and I will put that into my container with my seedlings to water them. What I have found is very helpful when you are going from the hydroponic to soil is to really, really bottom water your seedlings. That's generally good advice for all seedlings. But what I will do is I'll put these paper pots into a big Tupperware container, kind of. It's like basically a just plastic storage bin, like under the bed kind of size. And I'll put all my seedlings in there. And again, because they are paper pots, they will wick up that moisture. When you are transplanting the AeroGarden starts, AeroGarden will tell you that you do need to keep them probably more moist than a typical transplant. I have messed it up before though, because I have made them too wet. So what I did with my peppers and my tomatoes, which worked out super well, is I put my pots into that plastic container and I misted the top of the soil with my garden hose, like on the mist setting, just to kind of settle all of that soil in and to make it not dry. But then I just pour that water with the organic rev into the container, not directly onto my plants. And then they soak up that water from the bottom up. And so what this does is it trains the roots of the plant to reach down to the water, which is how you want them to be in your garden. Because if your plants know to go down towards the water, most of us in our gardens, that is where the water is. You know, it evaporates from the surface more quickly than down below. So if you train, quote unquote, the plants to reach down for water, they'll be better off once you transplant. So organic rev, this is something that I've talked about before. I've used it for probably 2 years now. I love it. They do also have their own fertilizer now, which I have used, and it helped my garden last fall so much. And I know that I probably will be using it again this year. I will put my affiliate link to Organic Rev in the show notes. If you do order, you can get 5% off with that link if you use the code GIRLY. So Organic Rev, fantastic. The next garden thing that I want to talk about is a type of spinach. if you listen to my episode that was about the specific things that I'm growing this year, the specific varieties, I mentioned that the spinach that I was growing is a type that's called lizard. I just chose it because it looked good. Wasn't really sure. I think I mentioned on that episode that spinach for me is not my favorite thing, because typically I don't like eating it raw because I hate that kind of like film that it leaves on your teeth. Well, this lizard spinach, I don't know if it's exactly the seed or if it's just something about this year, but even my full size big spinach leaves, they don't leave that kind of weird coating on your teeth. And so for me to eat this spinach raw, it's wonderful. It is so, so good. So lizard spinach, that specific variety, I got this seed from Johnny's. I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. So the last thing that is not related to hair or skin is these wonderful chicken wings that we had just last night. So chicken wings, we love them. The way that I used to make them is I would do them in my cast iron skillet. I would probably sear them maybe 5 or so minutes each side, and then I would finish them off in the oven. Then a couple years ago, my mother-in-law introduced me to the technique of cooking them in the oven when you add baking powder to your dry rub. So I should say here, these chicken wings are a dry rub only. I don't like breaded wings and I don't like them to be super saucy. So keep that in mind. The recipe that my mother-in-law turned me on to is you would add your dry seasonings, but you would also add a little bit of baking powder to that mixture. And then you would put them in your oven raised up on a stainless steel like cooling rack. So essentially you're creating like an air fryer in your oven. I do have a convection oven, and so that is how I would do them. Now, when she made them, she was using just your typical chicken wings from the grocery store, which are much bigger than the ones that we eat. The chicken wings that we get are from a local farm, and so they're not huge, you know? They're not these, you know, big fryer chickens, conventionally raised chickens. They're just more, you know, natural chickens, and so their wings aren't as big. And so what I would notice is that in the oven, they would sometimes get a little bit dried out. Now, the skin would be nice and crispy because of that baking powder, but sometimes they would get a little dry. Were they still delicious? Yes. Were they still chicken wings? Yes. Now, could I have played around with the time and the temperature of my oven? Probably. But last night, I decided to kind of go back to how I made my chicken wings previously, but a little bit different. And the reason I decided to try this is because the day before we had fried up some morel mushrooms in my cast iron skillet, and the kind of brown butter was still left in the skillet, and I didn't really want to toss it. And so I thought, what if I try frying the chicken wings in that butter? My husband was game for it. I was game for it. It seemed like it would be easier. And so I Googled really quickly, how long you have to cook chicken wings, like fry them in a pan without putting them in the oven later. And it was about 8 to 10 minutes per side. So I heated up that skillet, put the chicken wings in with that same kind of rub. So again, dry rub, seasonings only, and then that little bit of cornstarch. Baking powder. For 1 pound of chicken wings, you're supposed to use, I think it is 1/2 teaspoon of baking powder. So you add that in. And then I put them in the skillet. I set a timer for 8 minutes, I think it was, because again, our chicken wings are a little bit smaller than those that you get at the grocery store. And then we call them the flappers, like the part that's like your forearm with the two bones. Those I kept in there for the 8 minutes and flipped them after the 8 minutes. The other chunk, you know, like the upper arm of the chicken that just has the one bone, those I did turn because it's almost like those have three sides. So I did turn those a little bit early, kind of when there were 3 minutes left on my timer. And then when there were about 6 minutes left of the second 8 minute timer, I flipped those triangular ones again. And then I ended up not needing that full 8 minutes of that second one. They looked like they were done. So I decided, okay, I'm going to stop these at the 4 minute mark and I'm going to let them rest. And oh my God, these chicken wings were so, so good. Like, holy crap. This is the way that I will be making them from now on. And it was so easy. I didn't have to warm up my oven. They were just done in the skillet. The dry rub is, of course, super easy. I didn't have to deal with a dirty, drying rack, because I don't know why, but for some reason, those annoy me when I have to clean them. But anyways, this wing recipe, or like this technique for making wings, oh my gosh, just so wonderful and so, so easy. Now, I should also clarify too that I did leave the wing tip on my wings. I don't normally, when I made them in the cast iron, I wouldn't normally do that. And that was just because I didn't think I had space in my cast iron skillet. So obviously it'll depend on your skillet. I did actually have room last night for all of the wing tips in there too. So then after we were done eating and we had all the bones, I put those in a freezer bag, stuck them in my freezer, and those will be used to make chicken broth later on once that bag fills up with chicken bones. So those are the three non-hair and skin related items that I wanted to talk about today. After the break, we're going to get into the more girly things, but I hope that you still decide to tune in. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Grow and Flourish Planner, the garden and homestead planner I developed that goes beyond the farm because it helps you set goals and discover which facets of your homestead life need the most attention and which facets deserve celebrating. In this second edition of my planner, you get over 225 color-coded and seasonal pages of planning, documentation, and introspection. It starts out with a yearly overview, including the Grow and Flourish assessment that helps you prioritize areas of your life like relationships, homestead production, work, health, and more. The planner is then divided and color-coded into the four seasons, with each season having a check-in assessment, a space to consolidate notes from last year, map the garden, plan your plantings, track your seed starting, track soil health and amendments, write down seasonal meals, inventory your seeds, summarize the season, and more. Each season is then broken down into months with summary pages, daily rhythms, weekly planning, day-by-day tracking, harvest tracking, and egg production pages. Each section of the planner is tabbed to keep you organized, and it includes a rip-proof and waterproof cover to keep your dreams and records safe. The planner is also designed for the disc binding system, which allows the planner to grow with you. Whether you want to see only one season at a time, all the seasons together, or even keep last year's notes right alongside so you can compare. This planner is $39, but as a listener of the podcast, you can get 15% off when you use the code PODCAST at checkout. Get yours now with the link in the show notes and be the most prepared you've ever been for next season. All right, so first of all, let's talk hair. About 2 weeks ago now, maybe 2.5 weeks ago, I got the worst ever haircut that I have ever had in my life, to the point where I have fired, quote unquote, my hairdresser, and I have a new one. I haven't gone to her yet. I'll be going to her in June. But this past haircut, it was so bad. To the point where I am like embarrassed to have my hair all the way down. I went in asking for more layers, and I'm kind of kicking myself because I decided to schedule this appointment kind of like spur of the moment just because I was sick of my hair and I was sure that more layers would help me out. Well, I went into my hairdresser that I had been seeing for like 5 or so years, and I'll be honest, in the past few years with styling my hair wavy and no longer like thinking it was straight, she hasn't been giving me the best haircuts. And when I go down the rabbit holes on Instagram about wavy hair, you end up getting targeted with videos of people giving wavy or curly haircuts. So when they do this, they cut your hair dry. So that idea really appealed to me because if I would force my hairdresser to cut my hair dry, my hair would always turn out better. But this last time, because I was getting so many layers put in, I was like, you know, I'm going to let her wet it and cut it wet because she should, in theory, be able to be more precise. Well, I saw the snip that happened where she took off way too much hair at the front of my head. I almost look like I have a mullet now. Especially on the right side of my head, it's really bad. She definitely did thin out my hair, but it's not even, and it's terrible. I'm not going to name names, but yeah, I was pissed. So, so pissed. And I know that everybody listening, you've probably had a terrible haircut. And so, yeah, I am recovering from that. As you know, I have been trying to grow my hair out because I love having it wavy. And honestly, last year, if I would have known about the wavy girl routine or the curly girl routine and whatever, I don't think I would have chopped off my hair because styling my hair this way has given me so much more body and volume, and my hair seems to be a lot healthier. So anyways, she probably set me back like 5 or 6 months of growth, and I don't really want to think about it, but yeah, that's what happened. I'm trying out a hair growth supplement. I'm not really sure if it's working yet. Hopefully next month I will have that to talk about in a positive light. But anyways, that's where I'm at. I'm pissed off about my hair, but I have a haircut scheduled with a true curly hair specialist in June. So I'm trying to give myself 2 full months of grow out. I know that when I go see this new hairstylist, she's not going to be able to make it what I want it to be in the end because my hair is nowhere near that length, but hopefully at least she'll be able to make the layers better and a little bit more even. So I'm gonna have short hair for a while. But anyways, all of this is leading me up to how I've been experimenting and changing how I'm styling my hair. So this brings me to the first product that I want to talk about, and actually both of them are hairsprays, which is funny because if I think back to how I styled my hair when it was long, the only hair products that I used were hair oil and hairspray and dry shampoo if I needed it. And you know what? I'm kind of back to just those three things. So I guess it just kind of goes to show that you know your hair the best, but what is maybe most important is technique. And I think the curly girl method, that is what has been proven to me time and time again. It comes down to technique, the way that you are using your products. So what I am doing right now is I'm washing and conditioning my hair like normal, as I would. I do take the tactic from the wavy and curly girl method of brushing gently the conditioner through your hair. You're kind of detangling in the shower. So then I will get out of the shower and I will put my hair up in my microfiber towel. I still do love that. Now, what I am changing from the traditional curly girl method is a lot, because what I am doing is I'm just getting out of the shower, put my hair up in the towel, and then after that, all I'll do is I'll add my hair oil and I will go to bed. So my hair is semi-damp when I go to bed. My hair will dry overnight pretty well. If I really, really needed to, I could dry the roots of my hair a little bit just to help speed up that drying time. But I'm basically not thinking about my hair at night. I'm going to bed and then I'm taking the time in the morning to style it. Now, if I was someone who did like to wash my hair in the morning, then this, you know, this tactic or this technique wouldn't be the same. But I am someone who prefers to shower at night. I've always liked that. So anyways, my hair will continue to dry overnight. And then in the morning, that is when I style it. So my hair, when it was long, the way that I used to style it is I would do that exactly. I would wash it at night. I would blow dry my roots just to smooth them out a little bit, and I would put in my hair oil, and then I would basically just twist the ends of my hair. Because my hair was so much longer, there was more hair to twist, and it was easier to twist. Because my hair is naturally wavy, it will basically keep that twist or that curl, and I've kind of trained it to do that. So now with shorter hair, it's a lot harder to do that because I have less hair to hold on to, you know, like there's less to curl. It's hard to just keep a hold of. So what I am doing now in the morning is I am re-wetting my hair, but just the ends. This is very, very critical. Just the ends of my hair. And then I'm applying my styling product, which is the thing that I want to talk about. But then I am just getting rid of some of the excess water, and then I am diffusing it, and then I'm letting it finish air drying in the morning while I'm doing my makeup. And I just did this morning right before recording, so I'm all amped up because it turned out great and I'm so happy. This is probably the best I've ever been able to make this terrible haircut look, and I'm ecstatic. But what's crazy is that it was just two products. That's it. My hair oil, which is something that is completely normal for me, been using it for years and years, and then this new hairspray. So this hairspray is by the brand Bouclame, or Bouclame, I don't really know how you say it, but it is a brand that is specifically for curly hair. Now, when I started out, like my first introduction to this brand was I bought their line of products specifically for humidity. We get very humid summers and springs here in Ohio. And so that line of products, it's made without glycerin. I have spoken about glycerin a lot on the podcast in terms of skincare, and I love glycerin. My skin loves it. But what it does is it draws water to your hair. And so in theory, if you would use hair products with glycerin, that is just going to draw that humidity to your hair even more. This line that Bouclame has, it doesn't have glycerin. And so I bought the whole line and I was like, all right, I'm going to try it. So it came with a conditioner, a curl cream, and a gel. And I kept trying to make the products work for me, but I just didn't really like them. I didn't. The conditioner didn't feel as luxurious as my Pro's conditioner. The gel just seemed kind of heavy and greasy. And then the curl cream, it came to me bad. The company was really great, though. I sent them a picture of it, and they refunded it for me. It looks like it was from a bad batch. So anyways, the only products that I was able to try was the conditioner and the gel. And they just weren't working for me. And so then I kind of went down a rabbit hole of trying to find some other products, hair products, that don't contain glycerin. And that'll bring me to my next hairspray in a second. But after I had bought that other one, I found out that this brand Bouclamé, they were coming out with a new hairspray. And I was so excited because I was thinking like, okay, if it's made for curly haired people, it's probably not going to contain glycerin and it's not going to contain alcohol. Those are things, well, the alcohol specifically, it can dry out your hair. And without glycerin, I was like, all right, this might be the product that I need. And so I waited and waited for it to come out. When it did, I looked at the ingredient list and I was like, I love it. It sounds like it's going to be amazing. But I really did tell myself, like, Laura, you don't need it. Let's try out some of these other things that you have bought recently. But then one day I was like, you know what? I think I need that hairspray. After I saw some videos on Instagram of a lady who was styling her hair the same way that I was styling it, meaning re-wetting it in the morning, and she used just this hairspray. Her hair looked fantastic. She had hair similar length to mine and also similar texture, and so I was sold. So I bought it, and I have used the new Bouclamé hairspray 2 times now. The first time that I used it, I used way too much, and my hair looked fine, but it didn't feel good in my hands. But then the second time this morning, oh my God, oh my God, this is like the best hairspray, the best styling product that I have ever used. I am ecstatic. So again, I'm going to describe my process. Last night, I washed, I conditioned, I put my hair up in the microfiber towel to remove a lot of excess water. Once I did my skincare, put body lotion on, I took my hair down from the towel, I detangled it with a brush, and I added my my hair oil. That's all I did. I did try to like twist it back and away from my face a little bit to give it a little bit of control, but that's all. And then I went to bed, I put a headband on, to kind of keep it away from my face. This wouldn't be as important if you had long hair, but remember my hair is short. So when I put it up in a very, very high ponytail, a pineapple, on top of my head with a loose scrunchie, I still have a lot of hair that falls down at my neck. So by putting the headband on, I'm getting 2 things. I'm getting it to smooth out the face around, or the hair around my face, but then I'm also using it to help keep my hair out of the way. So that's how I went to bed. My hair was damp. But then by morning, it was totally dry. So then this morning, I simply stood at my sink. I kind of detangled my hair a little bit with my fingers, and I just got my hands wet at the sink. I just had like a slow stream of water. I got my hands wet, and I just soaked the ends only of my hair. So by letting my hair dry overnight, I didn't even use my hairdresser or hair dryer last night, to be honest with you. The ends of my hair became, or I'm sorry, my roots became very smooth. Obviously, you can tell how amped up and excited I am about this technique. I'm getting tongue-tied. So my roots were very smooth because I didn't use any heat on them. They looked really healthy and shiny. So all I did was, again, I put my hands under my water, under the sink, and I got the ends of my hair pretty darn soaking wet. So then I dried off my hands and I took this Bouclamé hairspray. It is not an aerosol. It is just like a pump bottle. And I used probably 11 sprays, I would say. I think I did like 3 on each side of my head and then maybe 4 or 5 at the back of my head. One thing is that you do not want to spray this on the top of your hair, like the top of your head, I mean, at your roots. And then you don't want to put too much on the underside of your hair either. So then what I did is after it was applied, I went back to the water at my sink, I wet my hands, and I started scrunching my hair. This time, I didn't take too much time to really finger twist my hair. I just kind of let it do its own thing, and then there's a few pieces around my face which I have been training to curl away from my face, and that's all I did. I think one thing that I might want to try next time is I might add a little bit of hairspray to my hands just to get it on the ends of my hair a little bit more. Because when you're spraying at your head, it's very easy to get like the mid-lengths of your hair, which is important. But if you spray it near the ends of your hair, you're very likely to get it on your shirt, you know, and I didn't want to. So I'm thinking that if I would spray some into the palms of my hand and then go in and scrunch from the bottom up, I could get that hairspray distributed to the bottom. Oh my God. So I just scrunched with that hairspray applied and the water. Again, these are the only two products. And then I microplopped. What this is you take a towel that is clean and dry, and you will use that to scrunch your hair in your hands. And what this does is it removes any excess water. That way, when you go to dry your hair or diffuse it, it doesn't take as long. So after I did that microplopping, I used my hair dryer and I put it on a low fan speed, but a high heat setting, and I diffused my hair. I didn't really move my head around too much. I tried to like keep those nice clumps together. And honestly, it took me only 7 minutes to get my hair dry to the point where I started to feel a cast. So if you have tuned in to any of the other wavy hair, episodes on this podcast, you'll know that you need to use a product that has hold to it. That way you can keep your hair stuck in that wave or curl pattern as it dries. So this hairspray, it definitely doesn't give you the same sort of cast feeling that a traditional gel will. For me, this is magical because it feels like I have nothing in my hair once I am all done. So as you are drying, you definitely aren't going to feel as hard of a cast as you would with a gel, but just know that it is there, okay? So I diffuse for about 7 minutes. That's it. Again, my hair is short though. But by that time, my hair definitely wasn't fully dry, but it was dry enough that I could feel that cast and I felt like it would stay together as I just let it continue air drying. So at this point, I used 3 different claw clips just to get it out of my face. I put one at the very crown of my head just to let it dry kind of up to get some volume there. And then the other 2 clips, I basically just pulled my hair back away from my face and I let it finish air drying while I did my makeup. I did set a timer after I finished diffusing to see how long it took for it to go from that cast phase to completely dry. And I swear it took like only 24 minutes because by the time I wasn't even done with my makeup, my hair felt like it was totally dry. So this sounds like it's a lot of work in the morning, but honestly, it really isn't. It really didn't take much time at all. And I'm so excited because especially now during summertime, when you have the really, really long days, we don't like eat dinner and get done with our day until much later. I don't know about you, but I have a husband who, if it is nice outside, he wants to be out as long as he can. So what that means for me is that my showers in the evening, they get delayed to be very, very late. And I don't know about you, but that's the last thing that I want to do after a long day working outside. I want to get clean, but I don't want to spend like half hour, 45 minutes styling my hair. So if I can delay it to the morning, this is just fantastic. So anyways, I did my makeup while my hair was completely finished. You know, it was going to be completely dry. I took out those clips and then I just broke up the cast, basically just kind of smashing my hair down with my hands, get rid of any of the very minimal crispiness that this hairspray gives you. I did decide to put one more drop of hair oil just to the pieces around my face because those are the ones that seem to get the driest and the most flyaways. So I used that drop of hair oil, but then that's all. And I am so excited with how my hair is. Now, do I still look like I have a mullet? Yes, depending on how my hair is laying. So until it grows out, I do have to keep it half up just to kind of hide that fact. But I am blown away by this hairspray so much so that like I'm about ready to buy another bottle already. That way I can keep it at work. That way I can do this those days that I'm at work super, super early. Oh my God, I am sold. So that is the Buclamé hairspray. I will put a link to it in the show notes. And then as I said, the other product that I want to talk about in regards to hair is another hairspray. Now, this is the one that I found first because I was on this rabbit hole of trying to find products that didn't have glycerin. And so I came across this brand that is called Know Nothing. And their point is that they have hair products that are completely fragrance free. This really appealed to me because now that I have become a daily fragrance wearer, thanks to the new Beauty Counter fragrances, I don't really want anything to compete with those smells. So I've kind of been going fragrance free on my body lotion, on my hair products, and I'm kind of going all fragrance free. So anyways, they had a hairspray that was an aerosol hairspray. This seemed like it would be really nice. It does have alcohol in it, but it doesn't have glycerin. I will say that this brand, Know Nothing, they are similar to Beauty Counter in the sense where they like to combine the best worlds, or like the best things of the synthetic and natural ingredient realms. So these products from Know Nothing, they do contain silicones. I know that that's a very controversial topic in the world of hair. So this hairspray does have a little bit of silicones. I was fine with trying it, and this hairspray is a wonderful finishing hairspray. I did try using this a few times to be a styler. That's why I didn't pull the trigger on the Buclamé hairspray immediately. But with the alcohol that is in the Know Nothing hairspray, it is drying, and so that is why it's not good to use as a styler. But say I do put my hair half up, this Know Nothing hairspray is perfect to spray onto the hair that I have kept back. That way I don't get flyaways. Or if I put in my hair in a ponytail or something, it is the hairspray that you finish off a hairstyle with. Would I use it if my hair is down all the way? No. But if I have some sort of an updo, quote unquote, or whatever, this hairspray is wonderful. It doesn't have a scent. Yes, you do smell the alcohol immediately, but once that has dried off, you don't smell anything. They do have two types. They have the extra strong hold, and then they just have the strong hold. The one that I bought initially was the extra strong hold because I figured, why not? Let me try the strongest one. And it's definitely fine, but I will say I have purchased just the regular strong hold, and I do prefer that one better just because I can apply more of it to get a more even coat without looking like I have too much hairspray on my hair. So I will link to the regular hold hairspray in the show notes, and it's fantastic. So I realize now that I have talked for a long time about hair. I'm going to take another break, sip some water, and then I'm going to be talking about skincare. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Grubly Farms, the brand of chicken food and treats I use for my own flock. What's always been important to me is making sure my girls get a non-soy protein source, but Grubly Farms takes it one step further by using food waste to raise the black soldier fly larvae that they then turn into insect-based protein. This is way more natural for chickens than the fish-based food I used to use. Grubly Farms is also higher in calcium than other feeds because it is made of insects, and I've definitely noticed stronger eggshells because of it. My girls go crazy for the crumbled food, but you can shop all their products with a link in the show notes, and you can get 25% off your first order by using the code GIRLYHOMESTEADER at checkout. All right, so on to skincare. The thing that I want to talk about today is mostly an ingredient. Now, I do have two products that feature this ingredient, and I will talk about those, and I'm kind of going to share the story of how I discovered this ingredient. So it is mandelic acid. So as I have talked about on the podcast, there's two different types of exfoliation. There's physical exfoliation, which are scrubs, the typical thing that most of us have used. Then there are also chemical exfoliants. Chemical exfoliants work differently because they literally break down the surface cells of your skin. That way you can, show off your fresh new skin cells. Now, In this realm of ingredients, there are two different types. There's BHAs, which are beta hydroxy acids, and there are alpha hydroxy acids, or AHAs. These work in slightly different ways. AHAs, they work on the surface level of your skin, and then BHAs, they can kind of penetrate a little bit more into your pores. So, I do love chemical exfoliation. I love the chemical exfoliating mask that Beauty Counter makes. But one product that they make that I thought I liked at the very beginning of my Beauty Counter story, it is their Overnight Resurfacing Peel. And this product is a serum that you will apply at nighttime, and it uses both BHAs and AHAs to exfoliate your skin. Now, unfortunately, it contains hyaluronic acid, which, as you know, if you listen to this podcast, my skin does not like. And as you know, if you listen to this podcast, basically every single skincare product has hyaluronic acid in it because it's a trend and everybody thinks that it's the best freaking ingredient out there. Again, my skin doesn't like it. And so that Beauty Counter Overnight Resurfacing Peel, it contains hyaluronic acid. So I don't use it. I haven't used it for a while. Now, what I realized though, is that Beauty Counter makes a version of that serum for your body. I love this stuff. I use it on my body. I also use it on my feet. But what is different about it is that it does not contain hyaluronic acid, and the AHAs and BHAs that are in it are slightly different. It does contain glycolic acid, which is like the tried and true AHA that is out there. It also contains lactic acid, which can actually kind of be hydrating. But the one different ingredient that is in it is this mandelic acid. Mandelic acid, it can kind of like blur the lines between an AHA and a BHA, meaning that it can work out surface level and also below the surface. So one day I was like, screw it, I'm going to try this stuff on my face. And so I did. Well, by morning, some of the bumps that I have from rosacea were a little bit better. They were like slightly less pronounced. So I kid you not, like 2 days after I tried this, one of the podcasts that I listened to about skincare came out and it was all about mandelic acid. I was like, wasn't this a coincidence? So after listening to their podcast, it's called Chemist Confessions. They are two girls that they actually make their own skincare, and they are cosmetic chemists. They actually used to work at L'Oreal, but then they decided to make their own brand of skincare. I do like listening to them because they are so knowledgeable and also just so funny. But I also appreciate listening to them because they are on the opposite end of the spectrum as Beauty Counter and all of the other non-toxic brands. They do understand, you know, the need to have safe products, but they definitely are kind of, they think that the whole clean beauty phase is a little bit hokey. So it's nice for me to hear somebody that has the exact opposite sentiments that I do, because it's always good to hear the other side of things. So anyways, I do like listening to these girls. So they were talking about mandelic acid, and they were comparing it to salicylic acid, which is a traditional acne treatment. And it is also a BHA, meaning that it works below your skin's surface. And so they were comparing salicylic acid and mandelic acid. They found a study where the participants ended up showing that their inflammatory acne, like more like the stuff that you get with rosacea, it was decreased more thanks to the mandelic acid, like, you know, both like the user group that had acne, the inflammatory sort of acne, again, that I have with my type 2 rosacea, some of them were given salicylic acid to try, and some of them were given mandelic. The salicylic, it definitely reduced some of the more like big pimples, but for the more like surface level inflammatory little ones, the mandelic acid seemed to work better for them. And so that right there, it like, you know, it confirmed what I had experienced from that one time using that serum. I like the body serum from Beauty Counter. I'll put a link to the show notes in it. But then I'm also going to put a link in the show notes to the other product that I have bought that is just mandelic acid. So after this, I was like, you know, I can't use this serum from Beauty Counter every single night because it would probably overdo it on my skin for the glycolic acid because it is more of an exfoliant. So I did some digging and I found a brand that is called Almond Clear, and they specifically focus on mandelic acid. So I saw a serum that they had for their for face, and it looked very minimal ingredients. I liked that, so I bought it. It was just on Amazon, and it came. I tried it out, and I was sold. Like, absolutely sold. Now, I will say, this serum, it definitely could use a little bit more moisturizing factors to it. So what I had been doing is using 2 drops of it plus 2 drops of the Cocokind Ceramide Serum, which I have loved forever. And that there, it gives me kind of like the perfect combination of getting that mandelic acid, but also kind of moisturizing benefits. Because that is one thing that's super, super awesome about the body peel from Beauty Counter is that it's very, very hydrating. So like, you're not going to feel super dried out after using it, because that actually contains avocado oil, which my skin loves. But anyways, that's that one. This mandelic only acid serum that is from this brand Almond Clear. It's very basic, very, very basic. And so that's why I feel that combining it with the ceramide serum helps to kind of buffer it and make it a little bit less drying. But anyways, after using that every other night and then using the Beauty Counter one every other night, I'll just go back and forth. My skin is getting so much smoother, and honestly, I really think that the mandelic acid is helping to regulate my oil production. I am someone who has very dehydrated skin, and so when your skin can gets too dehydrated, you can overcompensate by producing oil. And so that's what would happen to me, is that by the end of the day, I look super greasy, like I have super oily skin, but I don't. But it's just because it overproduces oil. So this mandelic acid, it's working wonders on the bumps that I get from rosacea, and it's also working wonders on my oil production without making me feel too dry. Now, I love this product. I'm going to put both of them in the show notes, but I do want to say that if you have rosacea, but you do not have the bumps and the acne from rosacea, I do not recommend this product for you, just because you probably don't need it. When it comes to rosacea, there's 2 different types. You generally start out with just the surface redness, and that is type 1. And then if it progresses and gets worse, you will get type 2. For me, my bumps were at their worst when we got married. So that was about 9 years ago now. Yeah. And it was really, really bad. Ever since then, after taking better care of my hair or of my skin and wearing sunscreen and all of that, it has gotten better. But the acne part of rosacea, the type 2 rosacea, that's the only person that I would recommend this strict mandelic acid serum to. Now, the other Beauty Counter product, because it is formulated for body, it is a much bigger container, but hey, that's kind of nice because you get more for same amount of, you know, for same price. This product I would recommend for just about anyone that wants to experiment with chemical exfoliation in a serum form. I am still using that face mask that I mentioned briefly before, but I don't have to use it as often. Instead of every 4 or so days, now I can do it like every week or every week and a half, maybe even. So this is just another option for chemical exfoliation if you are someone that does not like hyaluronic acid in your skincare. Okay, so again, I will put links to both of those in the show notes, and I will gladly send you samples of them as well. So, oh my gosh, today was a long episode. I'm going to recap here. First thing that I talked about was Organic Rev, which is the product that I am using to pot up my seedlings, taking them from hydroponic to soil, and then also what I use when I transplant them out into the garden. I'll put the link for that in the show notes. And again, if you use my code, that does help to support the podcast, and you can also get 5% off with the code GIRLY at checkout. The next thing I talked about was the variety of spinach that does not leave a weird residue on my teeth, and that is lizard spinach that I got from Johnny's. Next was that wing recipe, or kind of that technique for making wings. Next was the Buclamé hairspray, which I am using to style my hair, and I'm so, so happy. Next is the Know Nothing hairspray, which is a great finishing hairspray if you put your hair back or whatever, you just need to hold those flyaways in place. And then last are the 2 different mandelic acid products. There's the Beauty Counter peel, and then there is also the mandelic acid only serum from the brand Almond Clear. So I'll put links to everything in the show notes. And yeah, thank you very much for listening. I will talk to you next week when I'm talking about my goals for the month of May. Thanks for listening to the Girly Homesteader podcast. If you liked this episode, please make sure to leave a rating and subscribe so you never miss a new episode. I'll talk to you next week, but until then, I hope you grow and flourish in all the ways that make you, you.